Na, da er det vondt. Kreven.
Kreven.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And Di.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Happy New Year!
Holy smokes. I haven't seen you in a minute, Jeff.
It's been a while.
And then I made him wait outside while I was playing Marvel Rivals for 4 minutes.
It happens. I was like, oh, wow, I wonder what she's doing.
And it's like, cut to me. I'm like, no. Yeah, but Happy New Year.
Yeah.
New Year, new season, by the way.
Yes.
So technically, we're officially in year five, season five, though season one was only half a year long.
Okay.
So it's kind of year four.
That's a long time.
It is.
Holy crap.
Is that weird?
That is crazy.
Like, what is time? What is time?
I know.
So we've done this, yeah. It's wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, but we're almost up to 100 episodes. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's kind of crazy. But yes, welcome back. Fresh year, 2025.
Crazy.
It's already crazy. You know, we're here in California. We have these wildfires happening. And,
oh, my gosh.
Thankfully, you know, our friends and family are doing it okay, but...
Yeah,
man, it is tough to see, but you know, we're pulling through, and hopefully by the time that this drops, things will be much better. But until then, just have your positive thoughts for everybody. So we've got a lot to talk about, as much as we don't. You know, there a lot of stuff happened as 2024 kind of came to its conclusion, including What If, and the series has finally ended after a 3-season stint, and it finished just before the new year. So it was like, I think it was December 31st or something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 30th. Yeah. And so I don't think we need to do a full review. We've talked about What If here and there. It was kind of interesting at the end. Did you watch the...
I did, yeah.
You did? You watched them all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, I kind of... I think I was caught up for a minute, then I fell behind a couple, and then I was with it till the end.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good. I haven't... The first season is definitely my favorite still.
I mean, yeah. I think anything that's new that you haven't seen before, it's like...
I think I had preference for that because it felt more like an anthology series than this last season.
Sure.
The last two did.
Sure.
Because, like, after they made it all about Peggy Carter, I was like, okay.
Oh.
I was like,
a lot of people didn't like that.
And I love Peggy Carter and I love Captain Carter. But What If, as a comic book, is supposed to be. Every single thing is different.
Different, yeah.
There's no
underlying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Watcher is literally the only through line. So the fact that they tried to tie it all back and make these Guardians of the multiverse thing, I was like, huh. And then they didn't even bring back Gamora and Black Widow and any
of
them.
Died.
And I was like, yeah, they just all died. And then they have a new team. I was like, okay, that's fine. But some of the episodes were really fun, including, you know, like my personal favorites were either... Agatha Went to Hollywood, because I didn't really know what to expect with that one.
That one was kind of crazy, yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, What If the Red Guardian stopped the Winter Soldier?
That's funny. That one was funny.
I know. I tried not to like it as much. I tried not to be biased, because that obviously resonates, because it ties back to Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
The movie. But I thought it was really fun, and just to kind of be like, yeah, what if Red Guardian stopped it?
Yeah.
Because where was Alexi during all that? But also enjoyed 1872.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi and Kate Bishop there.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Grain of salt in my mouth, but yeah, sure.
And then, you know, all the other stuff was fun, including like Howard the Duck and Darcy.
Birdie,
yeah. I mean... If you're going to get anyone to voice Howard the Duck's daughter and as an adult, like to get
Natalia
and Natasha
Lyonne.
Yeah, to get her to do it. I mean, fantastic. And then there was rumor that, oh, like, what if she's this character in Fantastic Four? I was like, guys, relax. Like,
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it. Like, I'm pretty sure she's Alicia, Ben Grimm's girlfriend, but could be wrong. I don't know. But yeah, I think as a whole, it was fun. I'm kind of glad that they're tying it up, but I'm also like, oh, if they had just made it true anthology, then
I enjoyed it, yeah. But for me, I don't know. Like, I like underlying storyline. Oh, yeah. I do. But mm-hmm. I mean, but for what it's worth, yes, that's not what What If is in the comics.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Like, if I think if they ended with season one or two in a slightly different way, or maybe with that first group, maybe it would have been a little stronger. I don't know. But to see Storm was amazing.
Like, yeah.
Wow. And I commented on Allison Seeley Smith a couple of times. I was just like, man, her voice work was fantastic. And the way they treated Storm as a character was fantastic. And then, of course, we saw Coyote come back, too. And she was great. And yeah, it was fun. It's just not, it wasn't exactly the finish. Not that I expected, but I was like, okay, well, I guess it's over now.
Yeah.
It was fun for what it was. Yeah. And I'm kind of sad that, you know, we won't get to see it again. But there are other series coming out, like the Eye of Wakanda, I believe, series is coming out. And, of course, Amazing Spider-Man as well. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. And so there's a lot more animation to love coming very quickly before X-Men series. X-Men 97 season 2 comes out in 2026. But yeah, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you know what is almost here is Captain America Brave New World hitting theaters for Valentine's Day. So tickets should be available any day now. I have the El Capitan stuff open on my phone waiting. There's a page already, but I keep checking it to see if they put anything
up. It doesn't send like a notification?
Nothing yet, no.
Wow.
Not El Capitan. I have it on Fandango and all that stuff too. But I'm looking for their fan event. I'm like, come on. Need redemption after the Deadpool and Wolverine debacle.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's coming up really quick. I mean, you know, by the time this episode drops, it'll be just a month out. So have you watched anything else? Because they're starting to drop those really short teasers now, too.
I haven't seen those most recent teasers, but I mean, hey, Red Hulk looks good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, let's just go. I'm ready to see it.
Cap looks good.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm ready.
Ready. But yeah, you know, aside that, I think we can dive into this first character study of the new year and the new season. Holy smokes. But before then, just a reminder, we are not experts. We don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're nerding out over
Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven Sergei.
Sergei.
And then just a quick and fair warning, Kraven the Hunter movie spoilers ahead, as well as some trigger warnings, because this character is, holy smokes,
violent.
Dark and violent.
I know, violent.
Sure. Oh, yeah. So, Nitty Gritty, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Goats
galore. First appearance, The Amazing Spider-Man, number 15. Speaking of Amazing Spider-Man, cover dated August 1964. Issue titled, Kraven the Hunter. And then just some notable attributes before you start guessing the cover price.
Uh-huh.
Is that this is also the second appearance of Chameleon, as well as the first mention of MJ Watson.
Wow.
So this is kind of a biggie. It's kind of a biggie. But the cover price, first and foremost, cover price, 1964.
12.
You're learning, my pal. 12.
Yeah!
I love that you didn't even hesitate. You just went in.
Yeah, baby!
The look of confidence on your face was amazing. It's that Rivals juju. So yes, it cost a weighty 12 cents when it first came out. And then as you can see on the cover, Jeff, Kraven the Hunter! So and then Spidey's like tangled up in this net of sorts. And it says, so you think there are no new types of supervillains left for old Spidey to battle, eh? Well, you've got a surprise coming. Here's one of the newest and greatest of all. And then, you know.
Kraven the Hunter.
And at the bottom, special guest star reintroducing one of the first foes Spider-Man ever fought, the Chameleon. Because the Chameleon made his appearance, I believe, in Spider-Man number one. So this is his second appearance, which means a full year. This is essentially year two of Spider-Man.
Okay.
Finally comes back and then alongside Kraven the Hunter. So As far as value goes, the highest graded I found on Shortboxed was a CGC 8.0 Gold Signature Series signed by Stan Lee.
Oh.
Currently going for a cool $5,890.
Okay.
Not too shabby. And then on eBay, a CGC 9.4 going for $16,000.
Who has these? Guys.
$16,000.
Show yourselves.
Smackaroonies.
Oh my gosh.
And then the lowest graded that I could find on Shortbox, CGC 2.5, still going for $1,150.
Oh my gosh.
And then on eBay, a CBCS, which of course is the lesser accepted, yeah, as far as collectors go, comic book grading scale version, 1.5 for $450. Still a pretty penny, especially for a 1.5. But for fair market value seems to be around 1600 to 2000, 2200. And then you could just buy the comic book raw for about $375. Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. So, first exposure to the character.
I was literally thinking about this in the car on the drive here. I was like,
yeah,
when was?
Yeah, I'm curious, actually.
No, I don't. Honestly, if you're being complete. Oh, dude.
Huh.
Is it?
The game?
I think so.
Really? You'd never heard of Kraven the Hunter before the video game?
I probably heard it.
Yeah. But like never.
Wait, was like he mentioned in any of the movies just by name?
No, never.
Ever?
Never.
Not even like.
No.
Whoa.
Never.
So I think I would say like my first exposure to like lore was definitely Spider-Man 2.
Wow. So very, very recent.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's incredible,
it
actually.
It has to be.
Yeah, that's wild. Me, probably late 80s, 90s, definitely. Because I was a wee baby in 80, in 80s. So probably 90s, probably just before or right after the animated series.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'd say in the vein of like 93 and 94. Mm-hmm. First saw him probably on screen in some form. Like I think he was in a couple of episodes. But most definitely Kraven's Last Hunt. And we'll talk about that arc a little more later, especially when it comes to Spider-Man. And so as far as comics and trading cards go, I do have an abundance of Kraven trading cards because, again, he was like super hot in the late 80s, mid to late 80s onward.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm going to use my new villains book to read his little quick bio. And so in here, it states, orphan Sergei Kravinov, child of Russian aristocrats, grew up among safari hunters who taught him how to hunt the world's most dangerous game. A mystical serum made Sergei into Kraven the Hunter, enhancing his strength and stalking ability so that he could track and kill his greatest quarry, the spectacular Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's that. And so, I guess we'll jump right into it. And so, as is with a lot of the characters that originated from this era of comics, a lot of Kraven's modern day history was added and sort of retconned over time. So some of the more important facts, of course, we'll cover along the way as usual. Now, as far as his first appearance goes, you know, we're taking it all the way back to Spider-Man Year 2, like I said up top.
Uh-huh.
And the issue itself opens with Chameleon making his second appearance and this great escape he makes. So it's like, it's kind of funny because it starts out like any older Spider-Man comic would. He's like, you know, wisecracking and he's trying to beat up these four guys, but one escapes and he's like, I could swear there was four, but whatever, I got three of them. You know, like he's happy to be, you know, like he's victorious. And so Chameleon is actually the fourth guy, but he does the clever thing of shapeshifting, walks down the street, and Spidey's like, oh, it's not him. Okay. And then goes about his way. But, you know, on the other side of town, the folks at the Bugle and other New Yorkers are preparing for the arrival of what JJ describes as a living legend. The greatest hunter of all time.
We're back.
We're back.
We're so back.
The greatest hunter of all time, Kraven, who was arriving from Africa for the very first time.
Okay.
And so, of course, you know, he's JJ. He wants that scoop. He wants the, you know, everything first. He wants to be there. So he's right there ready for this guy to come. And so As Craven gets, he starts to come off the ship. This is his first panel as well. You just, the people are clamoring and they're just like in awe of this guy because he has a reputation, a good reputation, sort of.
Yeah.
If you will, he's marveled, right? I'm like, oh, there he is. Isn't he handsome? So big, so powerful, so rugged looking. And it's like, okay, rugged. Okay. Sure. He's got lion mane. He looks like... Yeah, a hunter, I guess. And he's got his little ballet slippers, which is so cute. And then the last bubble says, they say he can defeat anything that lives with his bare hands. And it's like, okay. So everyone's just like obsessed with this guy.
Yeah.
And in perfect storytelling form, chaos ensues when wild animals that are being loaded off of the boat get loose. So the crates break, they drop open. And everyone's like, oh my God, run for your lives. And then... Craven is there to save the day, and he starts to showcase his abilities. Like, he's literally tackling these animals with his bare hands, and he's subduing them, and he's the hero. He's very quickly become the hero, and Jay is just like, oh my gosh, this is going to make for a great story. And then, of course, needless to say...
So good.
You missed it, I know.
It's so good.
And so Peter is, of course, there. He's there with the Bugle folks. He's there to capture the story as he's supposed to.
Yeah.
And so he changes at one point. He's like, oh, you know, when the chaos started to happen, he's like, oh, I better change into Spider-Man. Goes behind some crates and makes the change and comes out. And then, like, everything's settled. Craven is taking care of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, that's great. Thanks. And he's like, he had no purpose. And so he gleefully changes back into his civilian clothing. He catches up with JJ, who's already talking to Craven about getting the scoop. And so Craven very candidly shares that the purpose of his grand excursion is one thing, and it's to hunt man. And JJ's like, you can't do that here. Just losing it. One day, I'm just going to read a comic book for YouTube. And he's like, you know, trying to tell him, like, you can't do that here. But Craven's like, no, it's not just man. It is specifically, I'm here to hunt Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And so immediately, JJ's like, oh, well, we have something in common. he's just warming up.
Like, yeah.
Again, year two of Spider-Man. So... after this whole scenario, Craven then meets up with Chameleon in hiding to gather intel about Spidey. And he goes as far as to set up scenarios to observe Spider-Man from afar, studying him like he would any prey. And then, you know, preparing for his own great hunt. And the two actually encounter one another very, very shortly after. So he just puts him through the gauntlet and then he's like, you know what? I'm ready to go. And so they begin brawling, Spider-Man and Craven. And then Craven tosses Spidey around like a literal ragdoll. Like, you see Spider-Man trying to like really throw, like he's not throwing punches.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, kind of is. And he's just like, I don't want to hurt this guy, but also he's coming after me. It is the Iron Fist versus Rocket Raccoon scenario from Rivals, where he's just coming at him and he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's really strong. And so you really start to get the idea that Kraven is this really brutal, powerful guy that just towers over Spider-Man, who's much more lean and lanky, whatever,
yeah.
But still very strong, obviously. And so he dislocates Spider-Man's arm, and it's so crazy. Visually, his arm is just like limp.
Oh my God.
And he's like punching with one arm. And, you know, and Craven's thought bubbles are like, you know, even with one arm disabled or whatever he says, he's like, he's still able to give me a good fight. I knew he would be perfect to hunt.
Yes.
Yeah, it just makes him love him even more in a weird way. And so Craven then uses this, he takes something out of his like little utility belt, he stings him, he shoots off this little like dart, and he poisons Spidey with this like potion that knocks his senses all off kilter. And so Spidey then, of course, takes the cue. He's like, I gotta get away. He goes, he flees, and he's starting to feel the effects of the drug slowly but surely over time as the day passes. And Craven then goes back. He starts to rejoice over his victory with Chameleon because, again, he feels like it's truly worth the game. Like, it was worth the trip. And so during this specific time, again, year two of Spider-Man. So he is still in high school. is he still in high school? And yeah, and he's still like having girl troubles. So he's in this weird he's in this weird love triangle with Liz Allen and Betty Brant. And then so he has that going on, and then Aunt May comes in and she's like, oh, Peter, you know, because you got to remember, she's old in the comics.
She is.
she's coming in and she's like, oh, I'm so excited. I want to introduce you to my neighbor's niece. You know, she really wants to meet you. And he's just like, I don't want to, I'm doing stuff, Aunt May.
Yeah.
And he's also like drugged out of his mind.
Sure.
And so everything is going wrong in his life, as per usual with Amazing Spider-Man, and he's still drugged. And so, at long last, he finally goes looking for Kraven again once he starts to feel a little better. And then the two scrap harder than the first time. And then Chameleon even steps in and attempts to fool Spidey as he shapeshifts into Kraven. Mm-hmm. And he trails off into the park, and Spidey's like, oh, cool, I'm going to just follow him. But Kraven is following Spidey. So it's all part of this big, you know,
yeah,
this whole thing that they're just going to ambush him. And so in the end, Spidey gets the upper hand, and thanks to his wit and smarts, he bests Kraven, traps him in this giant web, and then the NYPD come along to collect him and Chameleon. And so, you know, Peter's like happy, but at the same time, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go call Betty. And then Betty's like busy. And he's like, oh, I'm going to call Liz. And Liz is out with Flash. And then he's like, oh, Aunt May, I'm ready to meet the neighbor's niece now. And she's like, oh, sorry, Peter. She has a headache. She can't go out tonight. And he's like, well. So he decides to enjoy the evening by watching Kraven and Chameleon get deported back onto the boat that Kraven had just arrived on.
Damn.
And they, of course... That's the very moment where they're like, you know, I will come back to kill the Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, we have to kill him.
And they promise to return for the hunt once more someday. And so that's it for the first appearance as far as Kraven is concerned, and Chameleon second. And it kind of felt slapsticky compared to what followed in the years that followed. Because Kraven, again, goes down a very dark path, especially with Peter in mind. And so as for the cinematic live action version, so Jeff, you finally watched it as well.
That I did.
Yeah, so Sergei Kravinov, a.k.a. Kraven, in live action, portrayed by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, as well as Levi Miller as a youth. And so first and last scene in 2024's rated R, Kraven the Hunter film from director J.C. Chandor.
It was definitely rated R.
It was definitely rated R. How did you feel it was more rated R for? Why?
Blood and gore.
The blood, right? Yeah, it was mostly the blood. I was kind of like, oh, it wasn't as jarring to me as like Deadpool was.
I think Deadpool
was like miles above that. But definitely a lot of blood, a lot of brutality. It has a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes, 74% on Popcorn.
Hey.
I was like, okay, so audiences liked it.
Hell yeah.
Which is like, okay, that's fair. And I told a friend this, and I was like, you know, all in all, not a bad movie. It's just kind of boring. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's,
No, I see how people would say that.
Yeah, like it's fine.
I wish I could survive a lion attack like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, damn. How is he still breathing?
How is any of this, like, for real? Yeah. And, you know, of course, in the film, let's go down, like, Kraven in live action. He was portrayed as the older chosen son of a prominent figure in the crime mafia world, Nikolai Kravinov. And then Nikolai's other son, Dmitri, is looked upon as more weak, less capable, less loved. And then... things came to a head when the boy's mother dies, and so rather than mourn her passing, Nikolai instead brings them to go hunt in what city was it? It wasn't Nigeria, was it? But in the African wild, outback. It's like, okay, so boys, your mother just died. Let's go hunting.
I know. I was like, what? Jesus, dude.
Yeah, he's definitely
like, oh, your mother was weak. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Literally, and I put that on the side there. Like, he literally says, she was weak. And it's like, okay. And of course, you know, with the trigger warning, like I mentioned, like she died by suicide in the film. And so It's interesting because he's trying to prime them, right? He wants somebody to take over his empire, if you will. And so, oh, Ghana, sorry. Yeah, so they stopped in Ghana in West Africa for the big game hunting. And so he says this crazy thing. And it's Russell Crowe, which just, you know, makes it funnier.
Because his deliveries. Oh my God, is this Russell Crowe?
Yeah, his deliveries are insane. And so he's like, men who kill legend to become legend. And I was like, yeah, that's very Russian. He's like, really? Woo. And so that's where we were introduced to the infamous scenes from the trailer where predictably the lion attacks young Kraven in the wild. And I too was like, bro, absolutely should have died in the first 3 seconds. But no, this lion drags him across the land.
Yeah.
It was all like, the
you
way.
Know what? Let's go play.
Let's go.
Like, all right.
Exactly. And then, you know, like, I just that entire point, I was like, as devastating as it's supposed to be, I'm also just like, that wouldn't happen. It's too much. Like, it should have been like 5 feet and it would have been over type of deal, but whatever. And so, of course, this enter the young girl named Calypso who finds Sergei and he's like dying. And then, of course, that theatrical moment where the lion looks at the girl. The girl looks at him.
He's like, no.
Yeah. And then the drop of that blood. I was like, come on. That's where they lost me. I was like, okay.
I was like, lion's blood, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
The lion's blood drops perfectly.
But mixed with the magical
With the potion. And then it was super dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
And it gave him this mystical power through that potion that her mother
concocted.
Which
was confusing to me.
How so? Explain. I agree.
Well, like the visions he had when like the thing. And like the visions and like the symbols.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I? Am I supposed to know what these symbols mean? And I was
like,
I'm like, well, they didn't really talk about it before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no idea what these
symbols mean. There was zero context. Okay. It was just like, well, because the mother was telling Calypso, like, oh, this is a tradition passed on from my mother and to you. But they never really, like, explicitly say, like, the ritual part of it. They're just like, mystical magic.
Yeah.
Now you have it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Sure.
It worked. And then, of course, you know, fast forward. Sergei is off being a weirdo vigilante. Proudly hunting humans, a.k.a. criminals. Because he's a hunter. And then, of course, the reunion with his brother, his singing brother. That was super weird. I was like, is he lip syncing or is he singing?
Oh, he's for sure lip syncing.
It was so weird. I was like,
does not come out of that body.
But he was like supposed to be singing, right? Like he wasn't supposed to be lip syncing to an actual track in the movie either.
I think he's supposed to be singing.
That's really bad dubbing. Oh, Sony and their dubbing.
Why would you give him this kind of voice?
Yeah. And so the reunion is interrupted because Dima, as he calls him in the movie, is kidnapped. And the father refuses to pay ransom because he doesn't care about the child. And then Sergei, of course, takes matters into his own hands and goes by the name of Kraven. That is like a myth and legend in the criminal underworld by this point. And Calypso, who is now a lawyer.
Yeah.
I was like,
sure.
Huh?
Sure.
What's the relevance?
Doesn't even go by that.
Okay. And she helps him and also magically knows how to use a bow and arrow. And then Kraven encounters two adversaries in the film, Rhino and the Foreigner. We'll talk about them later, of course. And the film is chock full of animal interactions that are super cool. I was like, man, this is a Rossoni movie. Of course, in the end, Rhino and the he ends both Rhino and the Foreigner, uses his power to activate a bear who then mauls his father to death. And then they reunite only to realize the differences. Kraven returns home to find a gift that his father had made. And it's that lion's mane that's on the poster. And you only get to see it for 30 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
I think
it's at the end of the movie.
The one major complaint, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I had was the Foreigner.
Mm.
I just didn't see.
He was kind of like
a point
pushed into that movie.
Yes,
like they just needed a reason to have someone else.
There was a conflict of a conflict.
Yeah,
because the main conflict was the main conflict obviously was, you know, like his brother and Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the twist is, mm-hmm. you know, his dad is the one that kind of set him up.
Right.
So then the foreigner coming in, I was like, why am I supposed to? And like they show his powers.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
I know.
I don't know.
I was like, I'm not quite understanding what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, how is this significant?
None of it.
Like
made
he like
sense.
He gave his backstory on yeah. why he hates Kraven, which yes, I get.
Sure.
But I just don't get like
yeah
his powers, like his this hero or villain, whatever. I was like, and then he just, you know, he dies in a very yeah. honorable way because yeah. of Calypso's
Calypso.
One. But I'm
yeah.
like. How was I?
It's like, what are you doing here, my
Yeah,
bro?
Like, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. And he never gets a name. He is just the foreigner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was a little messy. It was messy.
Yeah.
It was,
like, I felt
form.
I could have done with, like, if you did the without him, it's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think they weren't sure what to do with him. Like, maybe they, I thought halfway through, I was like, oh, maybe this is the chameleon. Mm. But pretending to be another killer of some sort, but
yeah,
I was like, oh,
that was not the case,
that's not him at all. And so yeah, it again, interesting movie, not bad, not great, but you know, it's kind of just an,
you know,
filler.
Typical Sony.
Yeah. And you know, of course, as a reminder, the eponymous movie was apparently the final of Sony's Spider-Man universe, ending a nightmare of spin-offs.
Thank
maybe.
God.
And then that guy left too. The guy that was head of
oh yes.
head of the Spider-Man spin-offs.
Yes.
He left the company. He was also apparently the point man for the MCU tie-ins. So curious what's going to happen with that. But it's fine cuz Tom already signed the contract, so.
But nothing's ever going to beat my damn web.
My damn web. Still sitting at the lowest rung, I think, right? I think she still has the lowest, which is...
Yeah, but never forget that her mom studied spiders in the Amazon forest before she died.
Oh my God, what a mess. What a mess of a movie.
My mom was in the Amazon forest studying spiders before she died.
Spiders before she died. My damn web strikes again. Which would Iman Vellani gave what?
Half a 0.5 star.
Stars. Yeah.
Half a star.
Letterboxed. Amazing. And then we had one listener comment from C. Cutie Skeet on Blue Sky. No questions about Kraven. That movie won't even be relevant moving forward.
It won't.
LMAO. Which is true.
Hey, you got to respect it. Taking it back to the olden days of just
yeah.
like one-off movies. And it's like, boom, you're never going to see them again.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, oh, it's such a shame as a Spider-Man fan that they've like wasted these like characters in the weirdest way. There's
surprise, ugh. Aaron, he's gonna be back for Sinister Six Spider-Man.
Oh my God. Which, you know, honestly, wouldn't mind. Visually didn't mind Aaron as Kraven. Certainly not my pick. If you put him next to Tom, it's like, okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. I would like to see somebody twice Tom's size though. Like, I wanna see
sure.
a Joe Manganiello sized
sure.
man come after him.
I think what also threw me off in the movie was their perfect English accent.
Yeah. Oh my God, he couldn't find an accent to save his life. I was like, okay.
I was like, why are you, like, it's one thing yeah. to switch off between like Russian, mm-hmm. correct, right? Yeah. And then perfect English.
Perfect.
But I was like, wait, are these guys, so that threw me off the
yeah.
rip.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh yeah, Russian, Kraven. I was yeah. like, all right, cool, yeah. And then they go do the flashback.
Yeah.
And he goes into like whatever, and he's speaking perfect English. I was yeah. like, wait, why are you speaking perfect English?
Yeah, because he like brought them to London.
Yeah.
And or New York. I'm getting
like,
confused with the comic, but
like,
yeah.
What the hell is going on?
They lost their accent. It was kind of sorry to
like,
say.
I don't know
it
if
was
that
like
was
Scarlet
intentional,
Witch.
But I'm like, where
yeah.
would they have learned perfect English?
Perfect
from?
English, yeah. And it's also like they weren't super tiny either. It's not like they were babies and then
yeah.
you know what I mean? They were full fledged
like
teenagers.
Just, like just stick with the Russian like, accent, yeah. like you know, like
especially
Red
in
Guardian.
A world of Yelena Belova.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like it's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah, it was a lot of those smaller details. I was just like, okay, well, sure, I guess.
Yeah,
but
we'll
bad.
Get into it later. But like,
for sure.
But I feel like the backstory of like the hunting thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, because after playing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
And knowing that lore. Yeah. And I think that's more of like the true Kraven lore, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of like the the hunt. Like it's a competition.
Yeah.
Whereas this movie was not very much
not at all. It was like,
but yeah, we'll get into that later.
I'm a vigilante and I'm gonna go after bad guys.
Yeah, he's like, I have daddy issues, so I'm gonna be not what my dad is, just worse.
Only to be told, like, you're just like dad. Yeah. It's like, okay, well,
damn.
Fail. But yeah, you know, we'll like you said, we'll talk about it as we go along here. But first of all, you know, we're gonna see the aesthetics, and so as you can see, they modeled the main, the payoff movie poster of Aaron Taylor Johnson in all 29 of his abs in the chair. They modeled it after existing artwork in a comic book, you know, that is published. And so it is based off of real stuff. And as far as accuracy goes, pretty okay. Not perfect per se, but you get the idea. You get the sense, okay, yeah, that's what he's supposed to look like. But again, in live action, you don't even see the quote-unquote true Kraven outfit until the very, very, very last minute of the movie.
Literally the last shot, yeah.
I was like, okay, well. And you didn't even see that outfit without the lion's mane. You don't even see that hunting outfit until the last quarter of the film.
He doesn't even hunt in it.
Yeah, he barely. Yeah, I was like, okay, well. Otherwise, he's like in a business shirt and all that. But all things considered, it's not a bad adaptation as far as the key look goes. And then he quite honestly goes through a full glow up from the start of the movie to the end of it. He starts out like really rugged and then he just builds up into this final hunter. And you can tell they were 100% trying to make it another, make a sequel and have the same success that they had with Venom. But, you know, last but not least, Sammy Sheldon handled the film's costume design and you know, good effort, I guess. But that Kraven is quite literally the only character aside one other that was remotely close to the comic book versions. And before we get into the characters themselves, powers and paraphernalia, it's pretty simple, actually. In the comics, Kraven does have chemical and magical enhancements thanks to those potions we talked about up top. And then with that comes superhuman strength, speed, stamina, durability, agility, and reflexes,
they
as well
do.
As extended longevity and enhanced senses.
They all do.
Otherwise, Kraven is simply skilled at his craft. He doesn't technically have powers. And so he's also he's also skilled as a master combatant. He has endless wealth of knowledge with weapons. So he's also an expert marksman, master tactician, strategist, hunter, and tracker. Medical knowledge, of course, to heal himself and others if he feels like it. Master animal tamer. And then, of course, a touch of occult knowledge because of his exposure to Calypso and so on. Whereas in the film, he's a little more simple. A little more simplified superhuman physiology, including enhanced strength, speed, reflexes, agility, and endurance, as well as heightened kinship with animals. So that's what they called it. They were like, oh, he's not quite Namor, but he can be like, cat, come here. Which is a feat. But with that, we'll talk about all of his surrounding characters. Oh, this is where it starts to get a little weird. So, like, if you couldn't tell, tonally, like Jeff said, daddy issues.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy issues, for sure. So, starting family, friends, and affiliations, Nikolai Kravinov. And so, in the comics, Nikolai was a Grand Duke of the Russian Empire, married to a noblewoman by the name of Anna Makarova. And so, the real-life historical happenings, you know how... with Captain America, for instance, World War II, and all these things that are parallel to the comic book fictional universe. The same thing is treated with the Kravinovs in that the real happenings of the Russian Revolution in 1917 had their effects on their storyline. So in the books, it dismantled the Tsarist autocracy. So this is where the rise of the Soviet Union happened, right? And so all of these czars and all of these royal people, you know, they kind of had to flee. They had to flee the country because, you know, they were being overtaken, right? There was no longer this regime. And so after a series of events, including Sergei's birth, Nikolai then took his family and fled to the U.S., did not have a large estate. In the film, he did. Yeah, in the film he was like wealthy and he used his money there.
Yeah.
But in comics it wasn't necessarily the same story. And so things continued to crumble the longer he was in the U.S. And so their once luxurious life was then a shadow of what it used to be. And in time, Anna descended into madness. She started to go insane. And then Nikolai died and he fell from grace from what he originally was, because he was very proud to be Russian, very proud of the country. And the longer he was in the U.S., he just... poverty struck, all these bad things started to happen. Sergei decided, you know what? I don't want to be a czar or something. I just want to hunt.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be the hunter. Hunt. Yeah. And so, you know, the departures kind of left him abandoned and it broke him down as a person to the point where he just died. It was over.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's very dark. And so in the film, I wrote very little as far as Nikolai is concerned, because we did talk about him not too long ago, and of course portrayed by Russell Crowe. But as far all the things that you need to know about Nikolai, drug lord, hated his sons, but hated Craven less.
It's true.
He was a manipulator. He deserved everything he got.
Yep.
And then he died.
Yep.
That's
by
him.
By a bear.
Summoned by his own son,
that was
no less.
Crazy.
Yeah, because
I was like, damn, he can talk to animals?
I know, right? Well, in all fairness, he took the bullets away from his dad first. And then the bear was kind of like, oh, human.
Yeah.
Gonna eat him now.
Oh my God. Dinner time.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, he kind of like inspired the bear to go after his father. But yeah, you know, he's a bad guy. And he's the reason the entire film existed in a lot of ways. But there is another person in the family that does span comic and film, and that's Dmitry Smerdyakov. And so if you watch the first Joker film, this one might sound familiar.
Ooh.
So in the comics, the aristocratic Nikolai occasionally slept with the help.
God.
And so he fathered an illegitimate son that would one day become Dmitry. And so the two had a tumultuous upbringing, Nikolai often disregarding Dmitry's importance, especially in comparison to Sergei. And Sergei himself would bully and abuse his half-brother.
Yeesh.
Well until the eventual departure from the family. So like kind of like the film, he kind of left Dmitry there and went off to do his own thing. And then he just like, he was a lot nicer in the film.
Yeah.
Like, there was no real kind of like physical abuse between them.
Uh-huh.
In the comics, no. He smacked him around. He made fun of him. He would do bad things to him. And then he was like, you know what? Peace. And then he just leaves him there with his dad, who obviously is already like, I can't even look at you. You're not my son. You know, he just treated him very badly. And so it wasn't until Craven's death in the comics, however, that it was revealed Dmitry was in fact the Chameleon, a shape-shifting master of disguise and fellow Spider-Man adversary. So again, spoiler alert, we do see this kind of in the film with Dmitry Kravinov. He doesn't have the same last name, but he does. Portrayed by Fred Hitchinger and Billy Barrett as a child. Not to be confused. First off, this was kind of a mind-blown like moment for me, because I forgot this happened. There was a Dmitry Smerdyakov in Far From Home.
Oh,
do you remember this guy? If you see him, he's like, oh yeah, it's that guy. He was like the bus driver, and he looked like he had like a full beard. He kind of looked like Craven.
Wow.
But he was like in black and stuff. But he was appointed by Nick Fury to follow the kids on the trip. He's there. And that character's name is Dmitry Smerdyakov.
What an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's super duper Easter egg. And so I was like, oh, and now I remember people on social were like, wait, is that supposed to be the Chameleon? Because of the name. But the spelling is D-I-M-I-T-R-I. Whereas in the comics, it's D-M. Yeah, so slightly different. Easter egg for sure. But yeah, they're apparently not the same. I don't know. We'll never know. Probably not. But in the film, of course, again, younger brother to Craven, kind of tossed around for most of the film, but he owned a bar.
He was the damsel in distress.
Yeah, he kind of was, actually. Yeah. He owned a bar where he performed as a pianist and a singer, very badly, might I add.
Wasn't great.
Yeah, and again, like, the dynamic, it's kind of like in the film they were trying to sell like brothers. They're brothers. And it's like, no, I wasn't feeling any of that. It kind of felt like he was like, hi, guys. I'm here. And they were like, oh, yeah,
Yeah, like they made him like, because they made him seem like two total polar opposites.
Yeah.
And like Dimitri, or it's like, or
Dima.
Oh my God. Like Dima.
Yeah. Like he was just like a, like, oh, you're cute. You're not the man. Like when they're drinking in the bar. I don't remember what the dialogue was, but like he gives them both like whiskey glasses. And then like, I think Nikolai says something like, oh, you know, this drink is only for men.
Yeah.
And he's like completely humiliating him in front of his brother. And he likes it. Like he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You two drink. Like he's so child. Like he's treated like a child.
I know.
It's really sad.
I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. And so in the last few moments of the movie, it is indeed revealed, you know, that Dimitri is the shape-shifting chameleon from the comics lore, having acquired his powers from the same doctor that bestowed Rhino hit with his.
Yeah.
So he very casually says, oh, you know, the doctor,
yeah.
Rhino. Rhino mentions this doctor that gave him powers. And so it's then revealed that Chameleon, in the year that he had been apart from Sergei, found the same doctor. And so the doctor's never given a name in live action.
Yeah.
But it is theorized that this doctor is likely to be a character from the comics named the Jackal.
Mm.
From Spider-Man lore. And so the Jackal stems back from classic Spider-Man as well. And he is, his true identity is that of Dr. Miles Warren.
Mm.
We've talked a little teeny tiny about in our Gwen Stacy episodes, because he was a recurring adversary that was absolutely obsessed with her. Absolutely obsessed. He was so obsessed that he made a clone of the original girl after she died.
Good Lord.
So he used to prey on her because he was a teacher. And so, yeah, it got really gross and nasty. But anyway, this is the doctor that Chameleon and Rhino refer to in the Kraven movie that they got their powers from. And so, yeah, you know, that's the last that we saw of Dimitri in the film. But fun fact, his nickname in the film, Dima, is perhaps and probably a nod to Kraven's pet tiger in the video game. Yeah, he's a Dima. He's a Dima, which is kind of cute, but also like, oh, so you just named him after his pet tiger from the video game that everyone knew. But yeah, so notable adversaries first on the list. It's not a long list. I mean, I could have made it a mile long. I only put a couple on here because, you know, whatever. The Rhino. Alexei Sistevich. Sistevich. Sorry. So honestly, Rhino is a character we could probably do an episode on at this point.
I mean, there's two versions of him.
Yeah, considering
on live action.
Exactly. And he's in the game. Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff at this point. So we won't talk too much about his dynamic with Kraven in particular. And not to mention, they don't really have anything specifically for the two of them. It's all because of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's Spider-Man. And it's because of the Sinister Six, obviously. And they just want to kill him. That's it. That's all they have in common. They don't really have any other particular reason to connect. But of course, in the films, in live action, Alexei is portrayed first by Paul Giamatti, an Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then portrayed by Alessandro Nivola, as well as mocap by Chai Lewis Perry in Kraven the Hunter. So Kraven's Rhino is indeed the second live action iteration we've seen, and the two couldn't be more different. Could not be more different at all. Like, they're both Russian, but that's about it. Because the Paul Giamatti one, he wore the metal suit.
Yeah, the suit.
Alexei, he was just known as Alexei at first. Then he had that mechanical rhino suit by the end of the film. And then in Kraven the Hunter, however, Alexei is sort of a criminal mastermind who willingly underwent experimentation that gave him the strength and appearance
of a rhino.
Of a rhino, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
But I was also, a lot of people were complaining about like the look of it.
Oh,
and then people were, I was like, well, if a human turned into a rhino, I mean, how else would you imagine it?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that looks pretty. And I was
It made sense, to be honest. Like, again, not bad, but not great. It could have been a lot worse, to be honest.
It's like, how do you go about it, you know?
And I did think it was clever that, like, he had that little thing on his, like
that's
abdomen.
What keeps him, like,
and he had to plug in a straw, and then he got that potion or whatever.
Basically, it was basically like medication.
Yeah.
For him to stay a human.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right.
Which is okay. So, okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very interesting, and again, very interesting take because yeah, he was a mastermind, whereas in the comics, he's quite literally a man in a rhino suit, yeah. And he's big, and he hates Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people hate Spider-Man.
Yeah, so it was this the Kraven the Hunter version is very interesting in that he was. Like really reaching to be a compelling villain. And so, yeah, he doesn't go full rhino until the climax of the film, giving us that CGI goodness that social media had a field day with. Holy smokes. But then, yeah, when you watch it in motion, that's literally the picture that people were pushing around was like one frame of the film. Again, not bad, not great. And spoiler alert, he dies. He was stampeded to death by a herd of buffalo.
I was like, oh my God, this guy's getting ran right now.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. I was like, oh, you can hear it. You can hear their hooves and the pressure that they're putting on his body. It's pretty gross, but it's pretty awesome. Then, of course, that leaves us with Peter Parker, Spider-Man. So we've talked about Spider-Man ad nauseum by now, and if you're not at all familiar, are you actually listening to the show? So if you want to hear more about Peter Parker, where we do talk about the Sinister Six and all that good stuff, go to episode 2 for Spider-Man Part 1, episode 28 for Spider-Man Part 2, 68 for Marvel Spider-Man 2, and then our episodes on Miles, Miguel, MJ, and Gwen.
My God.
All the Spider-Man. I know we've talked about him so much, but we love Spidey. And so as far as the comic books, okay, oh my gosh. These two have quite the tumultuous relationship because it started out kind of kooky, kind of fun in the beginning. He just wanted the game. He wanted that. And that was it. And Spider-Man was so lighthearted. But by the 80s, it got much darker. Their dynamic kind of switched, especially with the infamous Kraven's Last Hunt storyline. So this particular storyline takes place on the heels of his marriage to MJ. It's the late 80s. I think it was 1987. He just got married to MJ. Mm-hmm. Ned Leeds died, so he's dead. And so this is about 3 years after the events of the Secret Wars. So we're talking black suit Spider-Man era.
Oh.
Okay. And so at this time, Peter was more or less wearing the suit all the time. He was not this red, perfect, beautiful, amazing, fun-loving Spider-Man anymore. He was this dark emo, not quite Tobey Maguire emo,
but
very dark Spider-Man. And so it was no longer the symbiote. This is actually a version that Black Cat had created for him, which is to mimic his regular suit. Just black. It's cooler. And so it often symbolized a far more troubled and dangerous Spider-Man, which was no exception in the storyline. So it perfectly fit. So if you see, that's kind of why, like, if you see the black Spider-Man, it's not like, oh, Venom. It's like, no. That represents a very different Peter Parker.
We need a black cat.
I feel like
they're gonna.
I think they're gonna do it. But I was like, if it's Anya Taylor-Joy, I don't know. I want her as Magic. She was amazing as Magic. Like, but I would accept it. But also, yeah, we need a Felicia Hardy already. But yeah, so again, that's why like people flip out when black suit is available in a game or if they see it on cinematic, you know, on screen or like, oh, Tom is about to get black suit Spider-Man. Because again, represents a very different version of him. And so in the comics, in short, Kraven continued to hunt Spider-Man. And he, oh my God, Jeff, when I was rereading this, I was like, oh my God, this no wonder I didn't want to go back. Like I read it once and I was done because like, it's so, it's such a departure from fun loving stuff. So Kraven at one point pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
He's about to fight. They're about to fight. Pulls out a gun, shoots him point blank, shoots Spider-Man in the face.
Gosh.
And so he then buries him in a grave, casket, everything. Yeah. Puts a headstone. Peter Parker was dead here, shot, killed by Kraven the Hunter. He's 6 feet under. And then after that was done, Kraven then dons the black suit himself and he commits crimes as Spider-Man. He kills people as Spider-Man. People that are just committing petty crimes, kills them.
So now
his reputation is completely tainted. And so 2 weeks later, you have this, it's so wild because this arc also jumps different story, different comics. So it's an amazing Spider-Man, sensational Spider-Man, like Web of Spider-Man. It goes through all these courses. So you go, it's like six parts, 5 or 6 parts. 2 weeks later, you start to get introduced to the Peter Parker that is coming back into consciousness. You're like, oh, is he dead? Like white light type of scenarios. And he's like naked in a fetal state. And then you realize, oh, he hasn't died yet. He's actually been poisoned with a tranquilizer. And he's been down for 2 weeks. And so after realizing what happened, Spidey becomes more furious and rage-fueled than ever because everybody's worried about him, right? He's like, Mary Jane, like we were supposed to just move in together. We just got married. Now she thinks I've been dead for 2 weeks. And because she encounters Kraven as Spider-Man at one point, and he has no idea who she is. He looks at her, and she's like, in her head, she's like, Peter? And he just leaves. And she's like, that's not him. Where is he? And she's like, she doesn't sleep. She starts to go a little crazy.
A little cuckoo.
Yeah. And so when Spidey realizes what's happened, his pursuit to end Kraven like fueled so much more. And so they once again go toe to toe. And after seeing that after Kraven saw that he finally bested his adversary, he was like, you know what? My life is fulfilled. I've ruined your life. I was you. It's so crazy. Like the entire monologue, whoa, you have to read it. It's so dense, but it's so great. And he essentially is like, you know what? Kill me. I'm done. I did it. I killed you. I was you. I became you. I bested you. My life is done. I'm fulfilled. And he's okay with it, right? And so he then accepted his fate. There's this other character in the mix called Vermin. And he's kind of like a mutated rat person. And Kraven was abusing him. And he had made him think that it was Spider-Man doing it all because he did it in the black suit. So Spider-Man, he releases Vermin. Spider-Man is like, he goes off to go fight him and contain him because he eats people. He's a cannibal. Exactly. It just gets worse and worse. And so after he leaves, Kraven's like, he's filled with this fulfillment. And he's like, you know what? Great. He goes back home, opens his casket, grabs a shotgun, gets into the casket, shoots himself, dies by suicide. He literally offed himself.
Lordy.
Because he was so proud that he did all that. And he was like, my game is fulfilled. The hunt is fulfilled.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so in this kind of weird way, Marvel editors were like, whoa, we can't kill him completely yet. And so they made another story. It was supposed to be the end. And it felt very good as the end. That was the end of the character. They decided to kind of rehash him a little bit and make that his soul remain unrested.
Uh-huh.
And so they kind of had him haunt Spidey for a little bit afterwards. But Kraven's children then stepped up to the plate. And so Spidey in the comics was never and has never quite been without a Kraven hunting him, ever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so Prime Kraven is very much dead. He's still dead. But sons, daughters, they all come after him. So it's like, that's it's kind of crazy. Like in the game. Yeah. So, of course, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, live action, portrayed by Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and or Tom Holland, sometimes Nick Cage, as well as, well, you know, you get it. So cutting to the chase once again, in Sony tradition, these two have never crossed over in any live action film.
Jeez, man.
This would have been amazing. Like, what an opportunity, and it did not happen. Which is also funny, because Kraven feels like Peter sometimes. He said a few things in that movie where I was like, what? And he felt very Peter Parker-ish. Like he would make some witty remark and I'm like, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be a killer.
I know.
And he'd try to make it cute and funny. And that's why I was like, yeah, if you put them next to each other, they feel like a match, but like not in the way that they're supposed to. But yeah, so no Peter Parker, no Kraven in live action. Will we ever see it? Don't know. It would make for an amazing movie.
I don't know how you're not going to do the Sinister Six.
Yeah, they really got to work on that. I'm going to be 50 by the time. Like, I don't even think I'll be 50. I think I'll be pushing 55, 60.
We're
going to
be getting
Stilt Man. Oh my god, it's been so long. If they don't give me Sinister Six, give me Stilt Man. Like for real. Like throw me a bone.
I agree. No,
and
I'm
Paste
with you.
Pot Pete.
I'm
Paste
with you.
Pot Pete and Stilt Man.
We need these obscure characters.
I know. know.
Yeah.
Especially if James Gunn is going to bring somebody like Calendar Man into the like DCU. Like, you know, you got to give me something Marvel. Give me some of these little hokey guys. And so I just wanted to note, I did not put the Foreigner in here because, again, confusion. I
don't know who the hell that is, yeah, man.
It's just a lot of weirdness. But anyway, let's move on to love interest. And so, first up, gosh, Alexandra Sasha Kravinoff. So I keep saying Kravinoff. It is Kravinoff, but I like saying Kravinoff because, you know, Russian. So these two were kind of funny because they absolutely went from hate to love, did not get along at first, and, you know, he won her over. And uh-huh. So Sasha had been more or less bound to servitude to her invalid father. And so her father was special needs. And she didn't want that. So she pushed him down an elevator shaft and killed him. And then she was free to become a Kravinoff because at this point she was like, you know what? He's kind of evil. I'm pretty evil. I think we'll get along. So she killed her dad. And then she was like, I can get married now. And then they got married.
Whoa.
Yeah, I just showed Jeff the screenshot, and very royal. Again, trying to reclaim this Russian aristocracy.
Yeah.
Aristocracy. Sorry. That they once had, you know, his father once had. And so he marries this very interesting female, and she and Sergei, you know, more or less doomed, however. Especially because once Sergei's obsession with Spider-Man intensified, Sasha then devoted herself to, surprise, ruining Spider-Man's life.
Dude, it's just...
And that's what I said. It's like a Russian doll of murder, right? They just all want to kill him. All of the Kravinoffs. And so she then put together, Sasha put together an elaborate multi-phase plan that involved everyone in Spider-Man's life, from Black Cat to Madame Web. She got everybody involved. Everybody.
Yeah, I love how in Spider-Man universe, so it's messy. Just it's just like, it's just pure hatred for Spider-Man. 100%. That's it. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Right? And it's just like they hate to see a winner, and they're like, I hate that guy. I hate
Spider-Man. Yeah. I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah.
Like, all right, damn, my bad.
Right. And so she had a lot going for her because, yes, she was already insane. She was already like not great in mentally. And then Sergei killed himself and then left the children behind. And so she had all the more reason. And then, of course, Spider-Man stopped her from doing XYZ, which only made her madder. And so the Kravinoffs truly unlocked an animalistic side of Peter Parker by proxy. One that was way more ruthless than we typically see him. And, you know, again, like Black Suit Spider-Man, that was unfortunately the key to all of the Kravinoffs' downfall. Like, it triggers him.
Yeah.
And so he would always come back fiercer because he knows he has to. And so in the end, there's this whole storyline where she brings him back to life momentarily. She brings him back to life. She resurrects Sergei. And she suggests taking care of Spider-Man in such a particular way. He did not agree with her. So he reached out and he snapped her neck.
Oh my gosh.
And just killed her. He was like, I don't like that idea. Then he killed her. And then he decided to go after Spider-Man again. It's so messy. And then his son ends up killing him. Like, it's crazy.
Does he love his wife, or does he hate Spider-Man more?
He hates Spider-Man more. Yeah, because he killed her. And so it is worth noting that despite not all children being born of Sasha, half of Kraven's children are now deceased in comic continuity, maybe mirroring the family dynamic newer fans were introduced to in Sony Spider-Man 2. Because do you remember, I had to re-listen to that dialogue a couple of times in the game where I think it was Sergei or the dad was saying how, like, I sent your sister and then I sent your other sister and then she killed her and then she killed him and they all just killed each other and then, like, he was the last of the game or whatever it was. I don't remember if it was Sergei or if it was Nikolai, but the family was all, like you said, they were all in on the hunt. And
yeah.
It became of succession, like who can kill everybody else.
Yeah.
So In the comics, Sergei's children, again, half of them are dead, but there was Vladimir, Alexei, who was also known as Alyosha, Nedrochi, Anna, and then Grigor, And that was like an adoptive son. He also has a couple of other adoptive children, okay. quote unquote. They're not necessarily children. But yeah, it's the same effect of they're passing on this crazy hatred. And yeah, and they're clearly not successful because he's still alive. Oh, Peter. But yeah, so needless to say, the Kravenoffs are just, yeah.
Tom Holland's going to get it in the next movie.
Oh my God, I hope they do something about it. Oh my gosh, it would be so amazing. No pun intended. But yeah, all that to say, there is no live action. They did not even bother going down that route. Like they probably would have maybe in a second, unless they tried to do the cheesy Calypso thing. Which
I love when I love when like these Sony movies just make up a character.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Or they take an existing character and then they
Just flip it on its
nerf
head.
It so hard,
yeah,
that it feels made up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like yeah. You're like, wait, what? That's supposed to be an actual comic. That's why this is why the show exists. Because of characters that Sony has mangled in so many ways,
crazy,
right?
Man.
Yeah.
They make them feel fake.
They make them feel fake. Absolutely yeah. agree. They make a fictional character feel even faker than they are.
Yeah.
And so speaking of Calypso, Calypso does have a comic book counterpart, but she's quite different than the one that we see in Kraven the Hunter. And so Calypso Azeelee is a voodoo priestess in the comics, and she's Kraven's lover, the one responsible for endowing him with the powers that would make him a formidable adversary. So labels come easy with Calypso. She's often referred to as a psychopathic because she enjoys triggering Kraven. So she's there.
Dude, everybody's just toxic. Gosh.
They're all, especially in Spider-Man. Like, I think that's why, like, I've mentioned this a few times in that I grew up X-Men, right? I was all about X-Men. I understood what it stood for. I understood the racism, the whole difference and all yeah. that stuff. But as I became older, I read Spider-Man books because I started to understand the underlying subject matters. And I was like, wow, they're all toxic. It's all a bunch of hullabaloo, right?
Yeah,
hullabaloo.
I agree.
Yeah, and so she's painted very psychopathic in the books because she enjoyed triggering Kraven and fueling his rage against Spider-Man. And she liked to see him angry. And so she'd like, yeah, you should go get him. You should go do it.
Yeah.
Do it. It's kind of like Death and Thanos, right?
Yeah.
Like she enjoyed the fact that he was like, yeah, I'm going to kill people. And she's like, great. And so Calypso was no different with Kraven. And, you know, it's obviously so much, it's quite worse in some ways because these are just, you know, people stand by or, you know, bystanders and all that good stuff. And so much like Sasha, Calypso then dedicated her entire being into seeking Spider-Man's demise. So much so that she died at Alyosha's hands. So this is one of Kraven's sons.
Uh-huh.
She died at his hands after attempting to pit Spider-Man and Alyosha against one another. So oh he gosh. Realized, he's like, oh, you're trifling. I'm going to kill you. And he killed her.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Pete actually teamed up with a Kravenoff to kill another Kravenoff. It just keeps giving. Just keeps giving, man. Oh, the hatred, the cycle of hate. And so, yes, again, Calypso is very much a character in live action now, portrayed by Ariana DeBose, aka Asha from Wish, if you watched Wish. And also West Side Story, she won.
Okay.
Yeah, she was Anita. So, as well as Diana Babnikova as a youth in the film. And so, yeah, as I mentioned up top, Calypso was a young woman who saved Kraven with the potion passed down by her mother. Somehow, this is another thing. It was like, wait, what? 16 years later, they magically crossed paths. I was like, what? So he sought her out, sure.
Yeah.
Based off of a tarot card? Based off of...
That's oh,
fine.
Yeah.
I'm in Ghana. Hey, 16 man. Years later. I'm going to find her.
If there's one good thing Sony can do, it's jump timelines.
16 years?
With no explanation.
Yeah, legitimately. And so... Yeah, so she's a lawyer. Again, I don't necessarily know why, but I guess it's because she's connected to the crime syndicate, which is like, okay,
yeah.
Fair. But also...
You gotta find an in, you know?
So...
Exposition, baby.
Oh my gosh, they were just shoehorning all of this together. And so I believe the author of a Vanity Fair article said something similar in that if there was supposed to be love interest chemistry between these two, it almost never happens in the movie because it is undetectable. Like, they don't almost kiss. They don't show any sort of affection. There's no interest. It's just kind of like a partnership. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were trying to push a love narration. And I was like, a narrative. And I was like, that ain't happening. There's no chemistry there. Mm. So I don't know. But yeah, she's handy with a crossbow and she kills Forner. And then she just, correct me if I'm wrong, did she just disappear after that? I do not remember seeing her after she killed the foreigner.
No, she.
What happened to her? Where did she go?
I don't think she went with him.
She didn't, right?
She didn't go with him to kill his father.
Yeah.
She just.
Just you know, left, right? Yeah. After she the
got,
big fight,
she got ridden off.
That's so weird.
She got to go back to her lawyer's job.
Yeah, just disappeared. Just like, got to clock in. Yeah. And then she's gone. So there wasn't much of a. Interest in the love interest in that one. But yeah.
Platonic.
Very platonic. And also very different from what we saw in the comics.
Oh, okay.
So, other versions and in other media. I only wanted to talk about one, and we all know it's the video game version. So, voice actor Jim Peery brought Kraven to life in Sony's Spider-Man 2, the video game, in a parallel subplot to their Venom arc, introducing the Kravenoff dynasty. Like I mentioned. And so in a nutshell, the Kravenoff patriarch Nikolai pitted his children. Yeah, so it was the siblings. Pitted his children against one another, leaving them fending to become the fittest of them all, eventually leaving all but Sergei. And I think there was maybe another sibling that was on the comms. I think it was a girl. I don't remember. It's been so long since that game, which I'm just like, oh yeah, that was a minute ago. And then, it just left the two dead in their great hunt, right? Like, they're dead. It's so crazy. The storyline is tragic, but it's also very fascinating. And I think, sadly, that's the closest we'll ever get to seeing it off the page. So Kraven in the video game was also accompanied by his loyal pet tiger, Dima. The film allowed for additional depth that the game had reached beyond the general scope of Venom and its effect on Harry Osborn. In the game, he kind of like brought another layer to the video game because there was already a lot going on.
Yeah.
But what an amazing like first intro. It was kind of like Kingpin, right? Like Kingpin was the first part of Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
And then it became all about...
I really like that lore of, like, it's a game, whereas the movie, like, wasn't really a game. It was just something that his dad does, but...
Yeah.
But Kraven despises. He doesn't want to be his father. Yeah. And I'm like... But in the lore, you're like, oh, this like, he's so possessed by the love of the game to hunt.
Right.
That he's pushed like to where his wife is like
it's all encompassing.
Yeah,
it's absorbed like everybody his entire has psyche.
You need to be a good.
It's
hunter.
What they do. Yeah.
Yes, it's what we Kravenovs do.
Yeah, that's why I do understand like the whole feedback about the film and that he was trying. They tried so hard to make him an anti-hero. That's like he's not really an anti-hero. Like, I see what you're doing, and but also, he's like, I'm not my father, only to become basically his father.
I mean, they did it with young Morbi.
Yeah. It's, well, Morbius is a little tough. Like, he can't help it, because he's a vampire, you know what I mean? Whereas, like...
Well, I mean, at the end, he's looking for Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's also true. It's very interesting. And I do like the video game. So far, the video game, aside the comic book, the video game is my favorite version of this character.
I love that. It's so good. I need to play it again.
Yeah, I would play it again for sure. Especially for the Kraven stuff. It was solid. It was so solid. So almost was. Surprise, surprise. Evidently, Joe Manganiello, a.k.a. Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, as well as Flash Thompson, and Stefan Kapichik, Deadpool's Colossus. They were both rumored to have auditioned for Kraven, but were clearly not cast. And Sony even approached, supposedly, Brad Pitt, Keanu Reeves, John David Washington, and Adam Driver.
I thought you were going to say Sandler. I swear to God. I swear. That would have been hilarious.
Chamolet.
Hey. I'm a hunter.
Exactly. For the role. None of which compared to Aaron Taylor Johnson, who apparently blew them away with his audition tape. Look, you know, he's an interesting sort. Did you watch Nosferatu?
No, I didn't.
I watched Nosferatu. I went to the theater and everything.
Nice.
Good movie.
Uh-huh.
A tad too long, if you ask
How
me.
How long was it?
It was like 220? Okay. 220, 212, something like that.
Yeah, 220
like that.
I think feel like a long time.
I think the original is somewhere in the vein of 130, one, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
Silent film. It was long, but this one is a bit too long. He's in that. He's in Nosferatu as well. He plays one of the friends to Lily Rose Depp's husband.
Got it.
Hates Lily Rose Depp in the movie. It's kind of funny. But Aaron Taylor Johnson as an actor. Loved him in Bullet Train. Great. Yes. Great in Bullet Train.
Yes.
In Nosferatu, as well as in Kraven the Hunter, he constantly seems to waver in this moment of like, he's too serious. He's uh-huh. too serious. He's taking himself too seriously.
Sure.
Like way too seriously. Okay. It's like, tone it down, bro. Like, tone it down. You're acting too hard.
I mean, he's great. He's great as Quicksilver.
But he's great as Pietro, right? He's great in certain roles. And then other ones, I'm just like, you good? Like, do you want to take that again? Was that your best take?
Yeah.
He wasn't super duper great, you know, but he's still good. He's good in some scenes.
Pietro got to be the first death that stays. First character and that just stayed dead, man.
Well, you saw what he said in one of the interviews, right?
What'd he say?
They were like, oh, you know, the crowds love you as Quicksilver, like they loved you. And he's like, yeah, I don't know why she didn't bring me back. And it was like, from what I recall, they didn't bring him back because he didn't want to sign a contract to be in more than one movie. So now you want to come back? Shut up. But he should, because I would like to see that Pietro back.
Tell House of M.
House of M. Oh, that'd be amazing.
She's going to be pure chaos. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing. That'd be so sick. That would be the way to do it, to be honest. But yeah, the way he said it, I was like, you're 100% why they didn't bring you back. Like, relax. But apparently blew Sony away as Kraven. And now it. Basically, there is no Sony Spider-Man universe anymore. It's aside Tom
so
Holland.
So funny.
Yeah, it's so crazy how that ended up. So we'll see. I mean, and needless to say, he was also Kick-Ass. And I loved Kick-Ass. I thought Kick-Ass was so good.
So,
yeah, it's great for its time, too.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he apparently blew all these other actors away. But I would have, Joe Manganiello would have had my vote.
I feel like he's
too crazy. Too much.
Too much.
I think
too big.
Yeah, origin story it made sense for Aaron Taylor.
Yeah. Like I feel like Joe Manganiello, like he's mm-hmm. a big buff guy, but I feel like he's like a big guy. Yeah. Whereas Aaron Taylor Johnson, like, because Kraven is like, you know, agile.
Yeah,
or I feel like he can pass as being agile.
Like again, like if you put him next to Tom, it was like okay, I could see.
Sure, yeah,
I could see them going toe to toe with a. Interesting way. So funny. So future of the character of the MCU. Do you think is it possible? Will it ever happen?
I think it's definitely possible.
Will it happen properly?
I don't know
Who would you cast?
Damn, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. In terms of stars right now that I'm aware of.
Yep.
I can't even think off the top of my head.
For sure.
Unless they bring his booty back.
If I see him, I will know. Like, I will know when I see the actor that I could see.
He needs to have, like,
fully
this
pulling it off.
Big, robust, just.
He's got to be like Captain Dorito, but, like, on steroids. You know, he's got to have, like, broad shoulders, but a small waist.
Yeah.
But bulky,
what
but not too much.
Man.
I mean, the one in the game is, like, well sculpted, and he's based off of a real person, too, I think. Yeah. But yeah, if he could be big, but not too big, not too hulking, but just fit would be great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And handsome, like in the comic. Isn't he handsome?
Yeah, I think Aaron Taylor Johnson definitely does work.
He worked. He seems like a short king, but I don't think he is.
I feel like you can cheat that. And then I think I would like keep the Russian accent.
Yeah.
Like, and if you talk in English, like keep that accent.
He's 5'11".
Oh my God.
He doesn't look 5'11 until you put him next to somebody.
There's no, yeah, exactly. Because I'm 5'10.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're almost the same.
But I
height.
Feel like he would tower over me.
And I'd be like, oh my God, stop. Just his abs. Oh my God, yeah, no.
I would honestly, he, between all these people that have unfortunately been in the Sony film, he and Jared, I would pull over. I gotta say. And Tom Hardy.
Tom
I would
Hardy
pull them
sure.
over. I would pull all three of them over. Damn, Webb.
She'll just be chilling,
Sydney
predicting
and all
the future.
Yeah, none of. I don't think I'd pull any of them over. I would just pull over the three
I'd
guys.
I'd pull Sydney Sweeney over.
Yeah. I would change
purely aesthetic. Purely aesthetic.
Aesthetic, quote unquote. Got it.
Purely aesthetic.
Yeah, I would give the girls another chance if they were rewritten more maturely.
I just want to know what goes on in those Sony meetings. I
know.
God.
Amy Pascal.
You guys are so lucky.
Throwing
your video
at
game
everybody.
Like division is doing so
and
well.
And animation, no less. Like getting throttled by animation and video games. And then you have like the most money and you're still doing the worst is kind of crazy.
It's
kind of crazy. And that news that had been released that apparently they always had the right to use Tom Holland and chose not to. That's insane.
We
want to
be our own. It's like, man,
that's
you
so
suck.
Crazy.
You suck. You suck.
The worst news that I ever read. I was like, this is a lie. But everybody kept reporting it. And I was like, oh.
A PR was just like, screw it, let's just put
yeah,
this out.
Yeah, they chose to not use him?
Sure.
What?
And how did that work out? Gang.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were very much trying to do a Sinister Six scenario. Yeah. And they just weren't fast enough. The strikes, COVID, all that happened. And so it slowed them down. I mean, yeah. And they never, this is probably the last film before they jumped into it. Now they don't get the chance. Yeah. It's over.
Because like it starts at its core of like, why are you releasing? I think you've said this. Mm-hmm. Why are you releasing Spider-Man villain movies
mm-hmm. without Spider-Man
yeah. in them?
Yeah, and they don't even talk about Spider-Man and Kraven. At least in Venom, like he's on
like,
the screen.
Like bro, like like Kraven's whole thing, and I learned yeah. this lore from the video game,
yeah.
from Spider-Man 2.
Yeah,
Kraven's whole thing is he wants. The best.
Yeah.
He wants to be the best. So he only hunts the best.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Spider-Man.
Right.
You know,
it's as simple
like,
as that.
I found my next hunt.
Right.
And I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right. It's that, it could be that simple. And James Gunn very recently said, because somebody was like, oh, are you gonna do the whole Batman origin story again? And he was like, no, because everybody knows that story. Not everybody needs an origin story. You can just take off and start the story
yeah.
after that moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, actually. Like, we didn't need a Kraven origin story.
Yeah.
You could have very plainly explained, I want the best. I want to hunt with yeah. the best. Spider-Man
my dad's
best.
A hunter. He yeah, formed me I'm into done. A hunter. Yeah. This is my family. My family yeah. must hunt.
Exactly. 5-minute dialogue, done.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be a 2-hour yeah. movie. Yeah, but what do we know? What do we know?
You're right. I don't know anything.
So suggested reading. I mean, this, it's basically like if you see Spider-Man on a cover and you see Kraven, get the comic. Because Kraven's Last Hunt from 1987, truly. It quotes the tiger and then they replaced it with Spider from the famous William Blake. But J.M. DeMatteis, Mike Zeck, Bob McLeod, and Janet Jackson, not that one.
Are we sure?
Yeah. I know. I was like, wait, is this a... Yeah, it's a real person. She did very much... I believe she was an inker or colorist, you know, contributed to this incredibly infamous story arc that is definitely a must-read for any Spider-Man fan. As well as Grim Hunt by Joe Kelly, Michael Lark, Stefano Guadiano, and Matt Hollingsworth. Hunted by Nick Spencer, Humberto Ramos, and Ryan Otley. And The Lost Hunt from J.M. DeMatteis, Eder Messias, Beldarino Bravo, Niraj Menon, and Chris Peter. So, Hunt. There is a theme. Hunt. They're all good. They're all great. And again, they get very dark. And so it's a change up from the normal Spider-Man story. So with all that said, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, guys. So keeping in line with the Sinister Six that never was, our next episode, we're going to talk all about Mysterio.
Ooh.
So join us in a couple of weeks as we tackle that character, a classic. And finally, a thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a We Are Groot salute to Laura, Edgar, Tyler, Nats, Robin, Jenny, Andrea, Ariel, Sherry, Katie, Melanie, Ed, Joe, Liz, Andrew, Ashley, and Chris. Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Light the fires. The great hunt begins.